afternoon, and welcome to The Good, Bad, and the Reality. We're brought to you by the D-Unity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting and federal, state, and local certifications. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm joined by my co-host Stacy and Myra. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Hey there. Hey. Finally, it is afternoon.
Absolutely. So, did you guys get your Christmas shopping done yet?
Really?
Have you even started?
Yeah, I started.
I started for like a secret Santa wish list person, but haven't even started for my own child.
Oh.
I know.
I think, what do you have, like 15 days?
No, surely not.
Yeah, I think I read today.
It's like 27, 20, yeah, because it's the 25th, and it's only the 5th, so we got 20 days.
20 days, okay.
I'm of the sound mind that you just get it over with and get it done.
Yeah.
Just get it done and be done with it, and, you know, just gift cards.
Gift cards, yeah, actually.
Gift cards.
Actually, I was reading the other day that 50% of the population would like to forget Santa. Christmas.
Because of
the financial
the
burden.
Stress, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to just have Christmas without the obligation of presents.
And that's what a lot of places were like. I saw Christmas stuff out in October.
I know. It's crazy.
You know, in Europe, it's like you get penalized if you don't do it, if you do it before then. You have to do it like a month out.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
at least you can celebrate each season and let each one be what it is.
Well,
right.
I just know that when I was growing up, Christmas for us was, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say it, Christmas was, if you had a roof over your head and food on the table, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And we weren't scroogey about it either. Nowadays, you walk through a mall and you see people's, you know, faces all contorted and all frowned up and, you know, and as I used to work in retail some time ago, I used to ask them, you know, what's the matter? Oh, I gotta get this done and this and that and the other, and you know, I'm gonna end up paying it off this time next year. You know, I'm like, well, why bother then?
Yeah, it ends up being a chore instead of a gift
giving. Something you enjoy.
Yeah, so. One thing that we've been doing more with our kids because they're so grown is sending them food items instead of sending them cards because they're not at home all the time.
Right.
So sometimes it's little things like that. I think they look forward to the cookies more than anything else.
Snickerdoodles. Oh, she makes a great batch of snickerdoodles.
Who would not look forward to a snickerdoodle?
I don't know, but I know I'm the one that, I get kind of scroogey with those because I hoard them.
Yeah, we have to make a whole separate batch for just Roger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, but that's how it is when you're the head of the home. So no.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, anyway, each week we do talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding, as it relates to the challenges of running a small business, and ultimately why individuals choose to do what they do. So that being said, who do we have as our guest today there?
Today we have Mark Parham from Partech. He wrote this book. He's a great resource that we have used in building some relationship with small businesses. And he wrote a new book called Yes, I Can, Develop My Idea and Start a Business. And in the front of the book is a lemonade stand. And we were just having this conversation is how many remember a lemonade stand or trying to sell something when you're 9, 10 years old off the street side?
That's so cool. And the funny thing was that, you know, Mark mentioned, what did you say about your demographic that you were targeting?
People 30 and under didn't get it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
They did not get it. It was interesting. I tested it out and different pictures, and I show them the lemonade stand, and they go, okay, what is that? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, talk about a genius way to target a market. I mean, so if you're going after the over 30 crowd, then test pictures.
Test pictures. I like that. Yes.
That.
I definitely like that. So, Mark, tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay. Well, as you said, my name is Mark Parham. I'm with a company called Partech Consulting Group. We're about 20 years in business. My sister and I have a family-owned business where we've been working with nonprofits and for-profits doing, you know, capacity development. I spend more time with for-profits helping them start businesses and grow their businesses. And we do work here in the States and internationally. And so, you know, I've been working on a project or contract down at the Urban League. That's where we met. And working with people trying to help them start businesses. Yeah. And one of the things I noticed was that people jumped in writing their business plans long before they even fleshed out their business idea. Mm-hmm. So they'd spend $500-$600, writing their plan and find out it didn't really work. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this book that really kind of sneaks them into writing their business plan.
Putting the stands before the lemons, huh?
Yeah, there they go. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Got to have lemons before you have lemonade.
Yeah. So what I did was this book actually takes them through different things about developing their business idea, but they don't really realize when they finish, if they do all the exercises, they've actually written a small business plan.
Right. Okay. And the great thing about the book is that it's literally a workbook.
It's a workbook.
So that, you know, somebody actually works through all the exercises.
And I've tested it out from my 77-year-old father read it, and he got it, and I've tested it out with 13-year-olds. So I've written it so it's so simple that anybody can read it.
Right. And then the 13-year-olds go out and open the lemonade stand, I imagine. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, not anymore. Now they're writing Google apps. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think the lemonade stand is done. Okay. Yeah, they're writing apps and doing all. Even my 8-year-old nephew wants to be a game designer.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. He's,
but it's awesome how technology changes our focus from the time we're little to, you know, what we end up doing forever.
Yeah, it's interesting. So.
So what do you think of the three main challenges for somebody wanting to start a business?
Well, most of them don't have the confidence. They don't think that they can do it. They think that they got to get, you know, go to college and get an education, and they don't, you know, they might not have the discipline. They really don't think that they can do it. That's one of the things I talked about in the book. One of the first exercises is having people think back about all the people they knew that were in business.
Right.
We didn't call it entrepreneurship. We called it Miss Johnson make cakes for everybody's parties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Brown fixes everybody's cars, you know, and, it's, you know, just a list and list and list of people that they didn't really look at as business people.
Right.
You know, and when they start thinking about it, they go, well, you know, maybe I can do it. Mm-hmm. And I think the second thing is that they just don't know where to go for help.
Right.
Okay. A lot of people are afraid to even say that they don't know. You know, and they get afraid of this. It used to be this big 30-page business plan that they feel like they had to write before they can get into business. And so I think those are the two things that really, really hang people up.
Yeah, and that confidence is a big one. Yeah. I mean, I know when I started my business, I struggled with that too. And the thing is, I had the degree and I had the business school and all that. And I think the business school actually, and I probably shouldn't say it, it did give me some confidence that I knew enough to get started. But no matter how much you know, it's always the leap of faith. Right.
Yeah,
you know?
I always tell people our MBAs did not tell us how to open their doors.
You know, another thing, too, people think that to have a successful business means that they need to be on the cover of Inc. magazine.
And
they have to have a storefront.
Enterprise, yeah.
But they don't realize that having a successful business really is doing something you like and making enough money to handle your obligations, taking care of your family, things like that. I don't care if it's $60,000 a year or $70,000. You don't have to make, you know, $500,000 a year to be in a successful business. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of lost grasp, I think, of, you know, what success is.
So, yeah, redefining success for people is probably a big exercise, too.
Right. Just, it really is.
You know, like, what do you want? And that's okay.
Right. I try to tell people sometimes that if they have a job and they want to start a business, to try to start a business to pay one bill at a time, you know, take care of your phone bill and then your rent. And the next thing you know, you're paying all your bills.
Wow. Mm.
But a little bit at a time. And to me, that's success.
Right.
That's true.
You know, so people just, I think TV and media define success as like rocking like P. Diddy. You know, things like that. Driving Bentleys and blinging and, you know.
Well, to your point, I mean, they too had to start somewhere.
Right.
Not every, you know, successful mogul in that aspect, begat a silver spoon in their mouth. I mean, Tyler Perry.
Right, exactly.
Started from below nothing, and now look at it, you know.
Yeah,
so,
living out of his car.
You know, so it can be done, and to your point, I was going to make a point about the confidence and the help. They kind of intertwine sometimes because a lot of times we always go to who? Our relatives for help.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
And our relatives sometimes can be the most
negative.
And that's putting it lightly. You know, it is internet radio, but you know, I would say some things that might not, you know, even on the internet, they might be kind of bad. But that being said, yes, they're very negative. Well, you can't do that. You know, what are you thinking about? Go ahead.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, who do you think you are? You know, and so. You know, quite frankly, I want that you to be proud of me.
Well, I think part of it is in our generations of parents, you went to college,
you got a good job,
and you stayed there for 20 years,
exactly.
And you got a retirement. to this day, my mother still doesn't understand, what exactly do you do?
I think it was different for women and men.
Yeah.
Okay, like my sister's in the same business I'm in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Together. My mom still asks my sister, so what do you do? You know, we're together. I'll be sitting right with her, and she'll say to my sister, you know, what do you do? You know,
but Mark owns his own business. Right. But what do you do? Exactly?
Yeah, and I have to agree. Like, with me, you know, my father was a pastor, so he really did own his own business, even though he had a national church to support him on the other aspects. But, you know, he worked multiple hours. He was the janitor, and he was the offering guy, and he was, you know, he did everything for that church. So he... And that's part of being a small business owner, right?
Yes, I think so. You know, Roger, you were saying, too, about family. One of the things I put in the book is don't discuss what you're doing with anyone other than somebody directly involved in the business.
Good point.
You know, because what happens is two things happen. Sometimes they can be negative, but sometimes people can give you so many ideas that you lose track. You're like, oh,
right, shiny object.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. So I say just focus on one idea at a time, get it fleshed out, then share it, you know. So, but family can sometimes go, you know, especially if you're trying to make a change in your life. Mm-hmm. People don't see change. They don't like change.
Right.
Because that means they might have to change, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I really just tell them just to focus on keeping it a secret.
Right.
You know, it's a development and plan, right?
Right, exactly.
So what was the third thing? You said confidence helped, and then the third thing.
I think the third thing is finance. Mm. A lot of times people think it costs a lot to start a business.
Right.
And I try to convince them that, first off, I've seen a number of people rent themselves out of business because they go rent office space.
Right. Mm.
And I'm really focused on teaching people how to start businesses in their home because the tax advantages alone
are huge.
Mm-hmm. But because it's not realized immediately, they don't count it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's realized at the end of the year of tax season. Mm-hmm. But if you start adding up 25% of this, 25% of that, when it's time to file your taxes, you're like, whoa.
Right.
You know, so, but they think that they have to go get these big bank loans. You know, a lot of times when I ask people, how much do you think you need to start a business? They'll go, I need $50,000.
I know.
What are you going to do with it? When I do the math, it's about $10,000 to start the business or $5,000. Right. I said, what's the rest for? Just in case something happens. You know, I said, well, you know, people don't loan money just in case. Okay?
I used to be a banker. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
Yeah,
yes.
just in case something happens. But I think when they realize you can get online right now, plenty of businesses you can start for $1,500 or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people already have hobbies that are well established that they can turn into, like people do the scrapbooking.
Mm.
You know, that's a hobby, but it really can be a profession because right now digital scrapbooking has become a big thing for funerals and parties and things like this. But sometimes you already have something you can just convert into a business and it doesn't cost.
Right.
You don't have to get a loan. You know, and a lot of times our people tell people not to get loans, just get lines of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, where you borrow against it and put it back. But sometimes people get that loan money, they do other things with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, to your point, don't you think that then there has to be an understanding of what finances are about versus, you know, give me 50 grand and I'll take it from here? Because to your point, just kind of backtrack a little bit. You know, you're talking about expenses. A lot of, if you go and ask a lot of businesses, what's the difference between a direct expense and an indirect expense?
That's true. Yeah.
I'm wondering would they be able to tell you. And that's not to say I'm not putting anybody down out there, but you have to understand how everything works in finance when it comes to that. And you may have to get help from other resources to understand that.
Well, and it goes back to your SWOT analysis of kind of saying what's your strength, what's your weakness. If you're not great at numbers, is to find somebody who can help you with those numbers, like knowing what kind of good business plan, or to even have a, you know, it doesn't have to be 50 pages.
No, it doesn't. You see online right now, you see one-page business plan.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
I think
it just
needs to convey that, the who, what, when, where, and why, you know. And I think something, too, about help. You know, so many people have gotten out of corporate America. Everyone's calling themselves a business consultant now, okay, a business coach. And I think selecting the right kind of coach, you know, generally will help you, you know, somebody that preferably has done it, you know, maybe is in a small business, maybe similar to what yours is or has a good understanding. And having them kind of coach you, and that's, I think, some of the things that we do.
Yeah.
You know, we have our own coaching programs where people can come and step by step, and we teach them how to create action plans. Right. You know, 90-day action plans, not 12 months. You know, I do them 90 days at a time. Mm. You know, sometimes if it's too long, people feel like they can. Well, I'll get to it later. You know, but right. I think coaching and education is a very big deal. You know, for people to have to learn about the things like finance. You know, we do a lot of finance classes. Mm-hmm. You know, how to do cash flow. How many apples do I need to sell to keep my lights on? You know,
right, and just break it down.
Just break it down that simple.
Well, going into the finance, one of the things that I think you cover really well in this book is about how do you charge your services or a product. That's usually a big weakness, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, but a lot of people feel like if a business is charging $125, they need to charge $125, but they forget you're doing it from your house, okay? And it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep,
right?
Okay, so you don't have to. Of course, if they're charging $125, you can't charge $25, and then you don't look like you know what you're doing. But a lot of times it comes down to how much can you afford to do it for and make money,
make
a profit, you know? But it does take sometimes people that understand finance to sit down and help you figure that.
Right.
You know, people don't really understand that whole profit. You know, a lot of people run around saying they made $1,000 this week. Hey, I'm paid, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you had some expenses out of that. You don't really.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they actually lost money.
Right.
Okay. Because they didn't take everything to an account, you know. So, you know, accounting and bookkeeping has become a big issue.
Yeah. And that whole idea, I know I've heard. Just in the banking side of things, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to just accept this job, and I know it's at a slight loss. And I'm like, okay, can you tell me the logic in that?
Right.
So you can't make up in volume a loss.
Yeah.
You just got bigger losses.
It's a mindset change, though.
Absolutely
it really is.
I mean, you know, you were talking about, you know, going out and matching what the competition is charging. But, you know, because it is all a mindset game, maybe you know that $125 that's being charged in the marketplace doesn't cover your cost, your expense, and the profit that you need to make for the time invested or whatever. Right. So, you know, maybe you do have to charge more. Big mindset shift to be able to say, okay, well, why are you charging more than this guy? And be able to say, well, because of whatever reason.
Because I'm bringing it to you. I know. Right? That's why you know, that's what it is.
You
know?
You're paying for my expertise, dang it.
And that goes back to the confidence thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been plenty of times over the years where I put out a bid, and I was taught by my mentors that you push a number across the table, just be quiet. Don't try to support it. Don't try to justify it.
He who speaks first loses.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And be confident. So, but once again, it gets back to the confidence of their abilities and skills and things like that.
Well, I wasn't going to go down this road, but I am.
Here we go.
Yeah, and actually, this is a question not only for Mark, but it's also for my former banker over here. We've all heard the stories and seen the stories of immigrants coming in from other parts of the world and doing quite well over here. You know, they come in with, you know, $200 or $300 in their pocket, and on next thing you know, they're very successful in what they do. Why is it that people that are born and bred here can't, I won't say they can't do the same, but it seems like to me the ratio is a lot higher, that people that are immigrating from other parts of the world are more adept at it than we are?
Mindset, I'd say.
Yeah, me too. From working with some, I've done a lot of business plans with immigrants and stuff like that. One of the things that really impresses me is that they come and they're all working together.
Oh, yeah.
They'll buy a business, all the family will work in it, to build enough money to buy another one, and then part of the family will take that one over, and, you know, and they'll just keep growing. But not only working together, they're all living together, you know, so they're all focused on the same goal.
Yeah.
You know, and they're used to sharing everything.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think a lot of them, we always talk about, a lot of them come from worse situations. So having a roof over their head, it doesn't matter what it looks like, at least it's a roof over their head. Mm-hmm. And so food, those kind of things that we take for granted, electricity,
right?
You know, they get a book that's even like a book like this is huge for them. I don't think they know what to do with that, you know? So that's a whole idea that it is access to these resources. I think that's one of the things that I think is real important, that when you write a book like this, that it's a workbook, mm-hmm. and it's not just a, hey, read about it, and then mm-hmm. here you go. Good luck.
Well, I'm going to ask my banker over here. So, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it in the industry that, you know, how are they able to secure money to do this if they've if they come in with $300? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, I mean, most of the time they don't. Again, it's a matter of working together. By the time, and I've done several loans for non-native U.S. citizens and resident aliens and that sort of thing. They by the time they come to the bank and to me, they have already done what Mark was talking about. They've worked together. They've built a business. They've spawned off and done another one. They have immaculate credit because they've got the entire family that's living together, sharing everything, pooling resources.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're not living above their means. It's so much about here in the U.S. I mean, and especially, you know, we see it a lot in Atlanta. Everything is about perception and keeping up with the Joneses, whomever the Joneses happen to be. And, you know, here in Atlanta, we've got big, giant Joneses. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I think that a lot that has a lot to do with it.
So the moral of the story is families start getting along out there.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess to your point is it's an all-in concept.
It's all-in. I mean, the families that I've worked with, I'm talking about the little kids are sweeping.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's stocking. Everybody's cleaning, mm-hmm. you know, and believe me, they don't always get along now, you know,
but they settle conflict within them. Whatever issues are going on does not affect the core business. And I've got a great story about, you know, you're talking with the little kid sweeping. I have a running joke with my brother when he lived with me for a while when we had our first business. We used to frequent this Chinese restaurant that was next to us. And this little kid, literally, he was maybe five. He was like in the kitchen, behind the register, running the register and everything. And now he's about eight. When I go in there now, he's the only one running the register, manning the phones.
Wow.
Do it. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you watched him grow up in the family business.
I mean, I call my brother now. I'm like, okay, Ken, he's running the store. But I mean, it's beautiful when you think about how they just literally will just grow up their generations in a business with the whole mindset of I'm never going to work for somebody. I'm always going to work for myself.
Right. And I like what you say, Mark, when you're publicly speaking, talking about back to families giving back to their own families.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when they start a business like that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, for some reason, we've gotten fractured. You know, it's all about us, you know. And, you know, and it hasn't always been like that.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, yeah, that's a whole different.
Yeah,
it's a whole different.
Yeah, it is. How much time we got? You know? But it hasn't always been like that. I didn't grow up like that. My family, we're really tight, support each other, mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. You know, when I'd say I talk to my brother or sister almost every other day, you know, people every other day, you know, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know, but we have to get back to it or going to go off the physical cliff.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
I know, guys.
We're talking about a marathon.
Yeah, really.
We're talking about that one. And I don't think the producer would like that.
Really. So, Mark, I asked this question a week ago to a couple small business owners. So what's your outtake or your predictions for 2013 for small businesses out there?
I think, you know, based on every conference I've been to, everything is about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Everything else is about small business. I think regardless whether or not they want it or not, it's getting back to the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be people taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the government's going to be over there fighting amongst themselves.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to have to take care of each other. And I think we're going to be forced into it. But I think once we go through it, we're going to be fine. You know, so I think it's going to be small. I think a lot more people are going to be starting home-based businesses,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just to supplement their income.
Right.
Okay, you
good
know,
point.
So I think that's where it is. That's why I think we're all going to be doing well to help people, mm-hmm. you know. And then I think, you know, all of it together is just going to rebuild our economy.
Right.
So that's my...
You're all in concept.
You're all in concept.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Mark, how do people get a hold of you? How do they get hold of your book?
My book can be found. The website is Yes, I Can Book Series. I say series because there's more coming.
All right. Yeah, I love that.
Yes, I Can Book Series.com. You can go to Partec Group, PartecGroup.com. Those are the two main sites, and they'll lead you to a lot of the. I have sites for small businesses and nonprofits. All kind of articles and webinars, all kind of stuff out there. But YesICanBookSeries.com will get you right to the book.
Awesome.
Outstanding.
And you can also get it on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. You can go on Amazon and search under Mark E. Parham, and it's out there as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I've already gone through this workbook. It was actually pretty good. Even for a business like ours, this is our time. Looking at some things. December is the kind of refocus, is what I would say.
And 2013, I mean, so many people just do not understand the value of planning.
I have to agree.
You have to plan for the new year before plan it gets for here.
Yeah. Not, and don't wait for last minute going, oh, the new year's tomorrow.
Yeah. So where can I get that book?
Really.
Last minute, I got 20 days.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm having a special right now.
Yeah. So we really appreciate you being here, Mark. And we have another guest here. Mark?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of finance.
Yeah, finances.
Yes.
I led you right in, Corey. I'll set you up. Yeah.
I like that lead. Right? I know. Really appreciate that.
So we've got Corey Moore here with Fortune Financial Group, or FFG. And also our pro networker.
So, kind of wearing two hats right now.
Yes. Well, you're always wearing multiple hats.
Multitasking as best.
Yes.
Multitasking as best. Yes.
So talk to us. I know you've got an event coming up.
We do. We have one coming up Monday, December 10th. It's the last Strictly Business for this year, for 2012. It's our holiday edition. We're extremely excited about it.
Oh, so this time it's not just Strictly Business.
It's Strictly Business, the holiday version. So it's as business as you could be during the holidays. So
I like what you wrote last time you sent out. Said, hey, if you're not having a company Christmas party, this could be it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I like that idea, especially with those ones that Mark was talking about that are home-based.
Right.
You don't have a staff, really? Mm-hmm. This is your way of having a Christmas party. I like that.
Right. You don't have a staff. You might not have employees or coworkers in the house with you. You might just have kids where you just want to get out the house and be around grown-ups. This is an opportunity for business owners to really get out and celebrate each other. It's the holidays. Everybody's going to, their holiday parties and things like that. Mm-hmm. But us business owners and sales professionals, why don't we have one for ourselves as well?
I love
so
that.
Eggnog and chicken wings.
Eggnog and chicken wings.
And business cards.
They'll be lip smacking good, huh?
Yeah, so we're excited. We have a lot of holiday vendors that are out there, a lot of people that have some gifts for the holidays. Mm-hmm. So if people are looking for some last-minute things, they want to actually support local, this is definitely a good event to go to. Also, when you're talking about planning for 2013, here's a really good opportunity to get some last-minute networking in.
Right.
Instead of last-minute shopping, get some last-minute networking in. Try to figure out, what are you going to be doing for 2013? Who are you going to be partnering with? Who are some potential services that you might start adding and doing? So this is definitely a good opportunity to get that last-minute networking in.
Well, to cultivate for what could be a great 2013.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And I know you usually support a nonprofit at your event. So
yeah. This one is going to December is going to be the Healthcare of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
We're really excited about that. Unfortunately, when the holidays come, everybody gets so boggled down with doing shopping for their kids and things of that nature when they're out and about, but they kind of forget about, some of the people who can't do that because they're in the hospital, especially children. Mm-hmm. There are children that are spending the holidays in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So what Children's does is helps them be able to, have a fun Christmas, even though, they have some element that allows them not to be out. So we are going to be supporting them. They have a really good program right now to where you can actually go to their website and write the kids a message.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's message just saying, to them whatever your holiday wishes are for them. And they've partnered with Verizon to where Verizon will donate, I want to say, $3 for each message that a child gets, all the way up to about $30,000. So our goal is that before the event, if people can't attend the event, they can actually do a message. But even the people who are going to be at the event, my goal is to try to get everybody at the event to actually send a message to the children.
So,
yeah, we're going to be helping out with that. So we're excited.
So what's 2013 goals for Pro Networker?
2013, very, very excited. Pro Networker's mission, as it always has been, is for a person to meet more people. Unfortunately, as we know, when they're talking about what are the economic outlooks for 2013, and as these small businesses now, or more people are starting to get into small business, they're going to run into the same issue. You know, you can start a business, but are you going to make money? So if you're going to make money, you then need a client. If you need a client, it's typically going to be somebody new. I mean, everybody starts off with their warm market, their friends and family, which give you guys a little tip. They're tired of buying your product. Your family and friends are tired of you asking them to buy your product.
That just validates my point. Don't deal with relatives.
They're tired of you doing that. So our goal, Pro Networker's goal, is to really get out there and really educate more people. Listen, if you want a new client, you need to meet somebody new. And the only place that exists that where there's a group of individuals that actually want to know what you do is at a networking event. So, like I said, and we talked about this before, you would think that networking events would be packed with that being the only place that exists, but, you know, still a lot of people still don't, you know, understand that, oh, well, you know, I'll go to the next one. Oh, well, and then they continue doing that. And then when they look at their bank account, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's a procrastination game, is what we call it.
Very much so is. Yeah. So, and that's really where the word or the name Pro Networker comes in, is for those active, aggressive networkers, for those individuals who said, you know what, I'm going to get at this very, very rough because I know that I need to get out there and meet as many people as possible. So,
I think, too, what people don't understand about networking, you might offer one service. Say you paint. Okay, paint houses. But if you go to a networking event and meet somebody that does another aspect of house or home development, now you can partner. You can refer each other. Maybe you meet somebody that has a landscape business. Generally, when you own your client comes to you and says, hey, do you know somebody knows how to paint? Well, yeah, I do. You know, but so it's networking, not direct business. It's networking to develop business partnerships where you can collectively go and get more business. I think that's what people fail to realize about networking. Sometimes they really don't know how.
They don't know at how. All.
And then you bring up a good point, and that's one of the things that we talk about is that Pro Networker's goal is to either introduce you to the three C's. Either a client, a competitor, or a collaborator. And the most times people are like, wait a minute, a collaborator? Yeah, that makes your business a little bit easier. And then they're like, wait a minute, a competitor? Why would I want to meet a competitor? And they don't understand that there are some jobs that you're going to get that where might be out of your scope.
Absolutely.
Well, we had a landscaping lady. She doesn't do it all. And she said that sometimes going to a competitor, they can't do it all. So they'll call her to do the rest of it at work. Or the bid's too small for them, but they'll give it to her because she's smaller.
Well, even in our line of work and business, you know, where we help small businesses get into the federal market, your competitor might end up being your best friend at some point.
Partner,
You know, so it kind of goes back to that can we all get along type thing, you know, because at some point we're going to need each other's help, and, you know, it's starting to play itself out.
I agree.
And definitely for
another show on how to network.
That's
another book. Yes, I can. Network.
Matter of fact, since you brought that up,
just have that available right here.
I just have that one.
So we're looking at actually for 2013, we're going to be taking Strictly Business into 2013 as well. We're also putting together a conference. And it's going to be actually a networking conference to where people can actually come in and actually learn the process of networking.
That's our favorite word is process.
Process and compliance. Of networking. So we can pretty much step them from actually going to an event, getting the card.
And knowing what to do after the fact.
And then what do you do after you get the card? Yeah, so we're actually excited about that. So that should happen probably in the summertime.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So I know you need some people there, right?
We do. Yeah, we're going to need a couple people there.
I was going to say,
Only anybody who wants to network. That's all that we really care about. So if you don't want to network, please don't come.
I think, too, you said after you get the card, what to do while you're getting the card.
Even more important.
What questions do you ask? How do you establish whether or not you can be a good match? You can do all that in those 30 seconds of getting that card.
Absolutely.
A lot of times people get a stack of cards, they run home, and
oh, they shoot me an email, and then I'm like, what do you do?
Right.
I kind of go through them. Like, some of them I kind of make them in piles because I know certain ones are great resource partners, and then there's some that are collaborators, so that's a whole other section.
Right.
Otherwise, if I put them all in one pile, it doesn't mean we would work with them all.
Right.
In that perspective.
The best $85 I ever spent was getting one of those business card
scanners. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been resisting
It scans it in. It takes the information right off the card. You can put it in Outlook, Excel.
Okay. Excel spreadsheet.
And it even keeps a picture of the card
right
with it.
You said Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Yeah. No,
it is.
It's a
tax write-off, right, Corey?
It is a tax write-off. For my other hat, it is a tax write-off.
Well, and that was going to my other question to you, because December 31st, as a small business, what are some of the things that we can start writing off that was really important? Like, I noticed, I just read that driving your per mileage went up.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things?
Yeah, every year it adjusts based on what the economy is doing, gas rates, things of that nature. So it does adjust every year. Right now is actually a really good time for people to get their books in order to try to figure out, okay, what were some of their expenses that they had for the year, to start kind of figuring out, okay, what is my tax liability is going to be, beginning next year. Mm-hmm. One thing that they can do is get ready for, like, for instance, these holiday events that they're going to. If they're holiday events that don't deal with business, that's not a deduction. But if you go to Strictly Business on Monday, that is a deduction. But it's definitely making sure that you're getting all your receipts together, getting all that together, because typically that person who actually starts now. And then the bigger thing is, once you're getting your receipts together, being able to analyze them. Mm. Find out, how much did I make this year? How much did I spend this year? If you made more money this year, that's half good. Mm-hmm. The next question is, how much did you spend to make that money?
Right.
So if you found out that you made more money, but you even spent more money, then you might have actually found out that you really stayed the same.
Right.
Or you actually went into the negative. Mm-hmm. So it's really being able to now do an analyzation of those numbers to try to figure out, okay, wait a minute, I implemented this for 2012. It really didn't work the way that I thought that it would. We'll tweak it a little bit for 2013. I implemented this. It didn't work at all. So I'll stop doing that.
Right.
Where actually the average person, they'll put something in. They'll start spending money, let's say monthly. They won't know whether it works until they actually look at the receipts again. And sometimes that could be a year later, where really if they would have looked 3 months down the line, they would have said, oh, you know what? This doesn't work. Let me stop it now. Mm-hmm. So it's really one of those times to really start looking at those receipts and expenses and income, and really, like I said, doing that analyzation to figure out what worked, what didn't work, and what I need to start doing for 2013.
So that being said, then, how often should one analyze their receipts? You said, I heard you say 3 months. Is that, some people, could it be a month, or could it be a monthly thing? Could it be a weekly thing?
My recommendation, and most people aren't ready for this, but to do it once a month.
Okay.
To where at the first Monday of the month at 10 o'clock in the morning, from 10 until 11, you physically schedule an appointment in your calendar, in your day planner, reconcile books.
Wow.
And what happens is, if a person actually does that, they now start getting a routine of what I call killing two birds with one stone. You not only are reconciling your books so that you have your expenses done, but you're also now physically looking at the expenses that you did the last 30 days and trying to really then figure out, what was my activity? Mm-hmm. Is it working?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I'm going to be coming out with a workshop talking about this is that enough business owners spend too much time worried about their service, let alone being an actual scientist and figuring out the process of their business.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, a scientist, they come up with a hypothesis on what they think is going to happen, and they didn't do a lot of experiments. Well, most times a business owner will create something and they say, oh, I'm going to spend a lot of money and getting the service out because it's going to work, where it typically doesn't work, or it doesn't work in the timeline they want it to work. So what ends up happening is, a scientist is different. They'll spend their time testing it.
So if
a person actually spent time testing their product and the actual system and the formula that would actually get them to have sales, they'd actually spend less money.
Right.
And then when they actually start getting sales, then they can actually start putting more money into that actually that works. So, and that's something they could do monthly, but the average person, I mean, they would definitely need to be extremely disciplined to be able to do it. So,
right.
Well, as we alluded to earlier, the fact that people really need to understand, and I'll say understand, their finances and how it correlates into whether or not that business is either just getting by or are they actually making something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and to Mark's point, you know, when it, when you know, with it, those three things he alluded to, confidence, what was the second one? Help. Yeah. Seeking the right type of help, mm-hmm. and then finances, and it all correlates, you know. So, yeah. I think a lot of people are in denial when it comes to that.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
I know. In the businesses I've been in, I know that the tedious thing about accounting is not my thing. So, I pay somebody once a month to just do it.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
And at, but it's great because at the end of the year, she brings me a folder. Everything's organized. Right. I look at this. Mm-hmm. I review that. But, yeah, I made mistakes in my first business trying to handle it myself, and I developed a very close relationship with the IRS after that.
You know, nothing that
first
you
name basis, matter of fact. You know?
That's a relative, you know, that's a relative no one really likes.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're related to all of us.
Yeah. They are definitely open to developing a relationship with you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we understand that one. Well, this was great, guys, and we appreciate both Corey and Mark for coming. And Corey, do you want to give everybody the website? And are there tables still available, that kind of stuff?
We are actually almost sold out of the tables. I was coming here today, and actually I was running a little late because we were getting some table sales. I believe we might have one or two tables left for the event, which is great. If anyone's interested in attending the event, you can go to SB, which is Strictly Business, the initials for Strictly Business, so sbevent.net, and you would be able to sign up. It's only $5, which is...
which is very economically friendly.
$5. And I was having a conversation with somebody. It was like, you know, the food that you had there was great. I mean, you had free drinks there. I mean, that alone was worth $5. And I was like, okay, I need you to get on a commercial for me and go tell all your friends. Like,
yes.
Yeah, it's pretty much a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer.
It's $5. It's great networking. We're expecting 200-plus people. Like I said, Atlanta's healthcare of Atlanta is going to be there. It's a great cause. It should be a wonderful event.
Good.
Wonderful event.
And if folks want to get help from you finance-wise or account-wise, how can they get in contact with you?
What they can do is definitely contact me after Monday, beginning on Tuesday. But they can also go to www.f as in fortune, f as in financial, g as in group, g-a as in Georgia.com. So FFGGA.com and be able to see all the information there. You can definitely call our office, 678-921-2929.
Well, folks, there you have it. Corey, Mark, thank you for being on the show today. And join us each week as we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running that small business and why you choose to do what you do. So for everyone out there and all our listeners, thank you for listening and happy holidays.